ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्नितिनामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो दिस इज आवर सेकंड डे इन आवर डिस्कशन ऑन द सब्जेक्ट ऑफ सरेंडर। द टॉपिक इज द आर्ट ऑफ सरेंडर। I'll briefly recapitulate what we did yesterday, what we discussed yesterday. We began the discussion by speaking about how the word surrender has such a negative connotation in the world today. And it is generally an indication of disgrace, defeat, dishonor, humiliation, and so on. And especially when it pertains to things like war, sport, and so on and so forth, people don't like the word surrender. But they don't realize that surrender is basically our nature. In our natural condition, we are surrendered to the Supreme Lord. Even in the unnatural condition state, we are surrendered, but indirectly. The conditioned mentality is that it wants to avoid any process of surrender because we don't want to be answerable to anybody. We don't like any authority. Rather, we want to be very independent and do whatever our mind says. But that is not quite the best for our spiritual life or for our happiness. So we saw many reasons why we should surrender. The first reason was that we have no choice. Either we surrender directly to Krishna or we surrender indirectly to Krishna through the medium of his material energy. And as we saw yesterday, this indirect surrender is a very painful process. Srila Prabhupada, in his bhajan that he wrote when he was on the ship from going from Calcutta to America in 1965, he wrote two songs. And in one of those songs, he sung, Tumi mor chira sathi bhuliya mayar lathi khaiya chi janma janmantare. He is telling Krishna, Tumi mora chirasathi bhuliya, that you are my eternal companion, I have forgotten. Khaiyachi mayar lathi. So I have been getting beaten by the stick of maya. Lathi means stick. Janma janmantare, for many, many lives. I have forgotten that you are my eternal friend, my eternal companion. So instead of surrendering to our eternal friend, Krishna, we have been surrendering to Maya and getting beaten by her stick, the Maya stick. So in any case, it makes sense to surrender directly to Krishna. We also saw that surrender to Krishna is an easy process by which we can overcome the sticks of Maya. Daivihi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mamevaya prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that this Maya is his divine energy, and to cross over it is practically impossible. But for one who has surrendered to Krishna, it becomes easy. Then Krishna explains in the famous Sarva Dharman Parityajya verse that if one simply surrenders to him, one becomes free from all sinful reactions, and therefore the process of worshipping Krishna need not wait till one has become free from sinful reactions. In other words, the surrendering process to Krishna is a shortcut. It saves much time, energy, and so on. Also, the surrendering process is the platform of knowledge. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudevah sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabhah. Krishna again explains in the Bhagavad Gita that after many, many lifetimes of trying to acquire knowledge, one who has attained perfect knowledge understands that Lord Krishna is everything, and therefore he surrenders to Krishna and becomes his devotee. So surrender represents the perfection of knowledge. And it takes many lifetimes to come to this point. And what is that knowledge? The knowledge is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I am his eternal servant. Once we have this knowledge, then we surrender. And having surrendered, what do? We perform devotional service, which will eventually bring us to the platform of pure love of God, Krishna Prema. So this is the goal of surrender. Surrender is a platform on which bhakti is based. Srila Prabhupada actually says in one lecture about the Sarva Dharman Parityajya verse that Krishna says very loudly in the 18th chapter. Of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, it doesn't say that Krishna spoke loudly, but Prabhupada is emphasizing this point as if to say that on the battlefield, Krishna may have been speaking in a certain tone of voice and a volume, but when it came to this verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya, then he started speaking very loudly so that everyone could hear and everyone could understand that this is the essence of my teaching. This is the essence of Bhagavad Gita, that you must surrender to me completely. So now, having spoken about why we should accept the process of Sharanagati, surrender, let us now talk about the Sharanagata. That means one who has surrendered, one who has accepted the process of surrender. We mentioned yesterday that it is one of the items of sadhana bhakti for us to perform devotional service in a state of surrender to Krishna. And when we do this, then we become very dear to Krishna. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching Sanatan Goswami, there is a nice section in which he glorifies the process, the qualities of a devotee of Krishna. He says the devotees have many, many qualities, but 26 among them are said to be the chief qualities. And one of the qualities of these 26 is called Krishnaika Sharana. And we can add a 27th quality in this age, that a good devotee always switches off his or her mobile phone before coming into the lecture. We have to adapt according to time, place and circumstance. A 27th quality of a Vaishnava. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not mention this. And he also did not mention that there is another Purana called the Mobile Purana, which speaks about various kinds of unpleasant destinations that are reserved for those whose mobile phones ring in the class. Just like in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5th canto, there are descriptions of many, many planets, hellish planets. For this sin one goes there, for that sin one goes there. In the olden days, life was so peaceful. We didn't have to bother about so many distractions. Anyone sat together anywhere and had nice katha, nice kirtan, and it was such a pleasant atmosphere. So anyway, one of the qualities of the 26 qualities is Krishna Eka Sharana. Krishna Eka Sharana. That means the devotee takes exclusive shelter of Krishna. Now, some of the other qualities are very nice. Can you mention some of the other qualities among the 26 qualities? Just two or three? Sorry? Compassion, all right. Humility. Sober. Grave. Success. He's an expert. He's a poet. Enthusiastic. All right. So many qualities Mahaprabhu has mentioned. But this is the 12th quality among the 26. And it is explained by the acharyas that this is the most important quality. That the pure devotee of the Lord is fully surrendered to Krishna. When this one quality is there, then all the other qualities automatically come. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavate rakinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura. Harava bhaktasya kuto mahatguna manurathena sati dhavato bahi. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that for one who has become a surrendered soul, all the good qualities that are there in the demigods and even in Krishna actually come. They manifest in the person of such a surrendered soul, of a pure devotee of the Lord. So because this pure devotee has the quality of surrender and devotion, all the other qualities automatically come in due course of time. Many times we see that some devotees may exhibit some qualities which are not very pleasant. So yes, certainly some corrective action may be taken sometimes. Like if a devotee, for example, is very angry, speaks harshly with devotees, wonderful devotee, chant 32 rounds every day, but gets angry at other devotees. Certainly the devotee will understand, well, I'm not supposed to be like this. I'm supposed to become humble, I'm supposed to become sober, I'm supposed to be kind, compassionate, cheerful. So it is the duty of the devotee to reflect that this is not how I should be as a devotee. Krishna will not be pleased. And at the same time, if that devotee is sincere and is not offending devotees, other devotees, then because that person is a sincere, surrendered devotee, the other qualities will manifest gradually in course of time. In the Harinam Chintamani, it is explained that for anything, there are two types of characteristics. One is called a Swarupa Lakshana, the other is called a Tatastha Lakshana. Swarupa Lakshana means the primary characteristic, and the Tatastha Lakshana means the secondary characteristic. So the primary characteristic of a pure devotee of the Lord is Krishnaika Sharana. That he or she is fully surrendered exclusively to Krishna. not to anybody else. In the Sarva Dharman Parityajya verse, it is explained that one must give up all varieties of religion. So the question may be asked that Krishna says, Dharma Sansthapanarthaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge, I descend into this world in every yuga to establish dharma, to establish religion. And then Krishna says here, give up all the religion. So he has come here to establish religion or to tell us to give up religion? Because both these verses seem to contradict each other. No, certainly Krishna is not telling us to give up religion, but he is speaking in this 66th verse of the 18th chapter a very important point, that surrender to him is the real religion. All other religions or processes of religion or any other dharmas should be given up. One should completely surrender to Krishna. So when he says sarva dharman parityajya, he is saying everything else apart from mam ekam sharanam, apart from exclusive shelter of my lotus feet, every other form of dharma is to be rejected. So Krishna bhakti alone is the supreme dharma. So this is the meaning of Krishnaika Sharana. No need to worship the demigods. No need to take refuge of yoga, Ashtanga yoga, Karma yoga, Jnana yoga. No need to take refuge of so many other processes that may be there. Devotional service by complete shelter of Krishna's lotus feet is sufficient. And it is explained that all the other qualities are the tatastha lakshana. Surrender to Krishna is the main quality, and all the other qualities will come automatically as a result of that. So in other words, Krishna's qualities or the devotee's pure qualities are a consequence of his surrender to Krishna. So just see how wonderful surrender is. Just surrender to Krishna and everything else will manifest. So therefore there's something special about this quality of the devotee that attracts Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further explains that there are two kinds of pure devotees. One is called the Akinchana, who has no material desires. And the other is called the Sharanagata, that he is completely surrendered to Krishna. He says both are wonderful, but the Sharanagata devotee has one quality which is very special. That's called Atma Samarpan, self-surrender. And such a spirit of self-surrender pleases Krishna very much. So one becomes very, very dear to Krishna as a result of such surrender. So this was a few words about the Sharanagata, the devotee who has surrendered. Now let's talk about the process of surrender, Sharanagati. We mentioned briefly yesterday that Rupa Goswami has mentioned in the list of his 64 items of sadhana bhakti, the 52nd is sharanapattihi, to accept the process of surrender to Krishna. And that is something that is very dear to him. Rupa Goswami quotes a very nice verse, Tvam prapannosmi sharanam deva deva janardana iti yaha sharanam praptaha kleshadharayamyaham. This is the Lord himself speaking. It's from the Narasimha Purana. So the Lord is saying that if anybody comes to me and says, Tvam prapannosmi sharanam, ki I have surrendered to you and have come to accept your shelter, O Deva Deva Janardana, O Janardan, the Lord of all Lords. The word Janardan means one who gives refuge and takes away all the unfavorable qualities of somebody, all the misery he takes away. So, O Janardana, I have come to you to surrender at your lotus feet and accept your shelter. So the Lord himself says, Iti yaha sharanam praptaha. If somebody comes to me taking my shelter like this, klesha dharayam yaham, I deliver this person from all misery and suffering. This is the Lord's promise. There's another scripture, a nice scripture. It is not very popular, but some of the verses that come across from this scripture are quoted in Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and so on. And that's one of the Pancharatra scriptures called the Satvata Tantra. And there is an interesting dialogue here about many topics of devotional service, including surrender. And the dialogue is taking place between Lord Shiva and Narad Muni. Having spoken about the process of surrender, Lord Shiva says that surrender to Krishna's lotus feet is a root of devotional service. And if one tries to perform devotional service without surrendering to Krishna, it is like trying to drink water from an earthen pot that has not been baked. Have you ever tried that? When you have a mud pot, what happens to the mud pot? Collapses. And anyway, you'll have mud all over into your mouth, yes? But when you bake the pot, then it becomes nice and strong, and it can hold the water nicely. You can drink to your heart's content. But if you try to render devotional service without any spirit of surrender, then it is hard for it to sustain. And you will not get the sweet taste of Krishna consciousness. So surrender means Tava Asmi, I am yours, my dear Lord. Whatever you wish, that will be done. To give up one's freedom and accept the Lord's pleasure as one's all in all. Even if it is displeasing to me, I will do that for the Lord's pleasure. This is surrender. We know the story of the gopis that Krishna, that Prabhupada used to tell many times. That one time Krishna had a headache and Narad Muni was very worried. And he called so many doctors, and none of them were able to cure Krishna's headache. They gave so many medicines and everything, but it didn't work. Finally, Krishna said, there's only one medicine, and that is the dust from the feet of my devotee. So then, Narad Muni was flabbergasted. He said, how is that possible? Which devotee, is going to do such a thing? It's going to be sacrilege. It is offensive. So he went around asking everybody, and nobody was willing to give, because how can we give the dust of our feet on Krishna's head? That's impossible. We'll go to hell. Then Narad Muni came back disappointed, and then Krishna said, all right, now you go to the gopis of Vrindavan. So Narad Muni went to the gopis, and they said, really, Krishna has a headache. And the only cure is that we should give him the dust from our feet to put on his head. No problem, take as much dust as you want. But Narad Muni said, don't you know that you will go to hell, perhaps eternally, for doing such a thing? He said, doesn't matter. If we are in hell, if we are able to give Krishna relief from his headache for even 1 second, our going to hell is something very satisfying to us. So this is surrender. When we have a spirit that we want to do everything only for Krishna's pleasure, not for my pleasure. My pleasure doesn't have a role to play in this devotional service. So the meaning of what Lord Shiva is saying is that devotional service done without this spirit of wanting to do everything for Krishna's pleasure, of having no consideration of one's own pleasure, that is something very, very wonderful. But if we don't have that spirit of surrender, then the devotional service is not very pleasing at all. And then Lord Shiva speaks about the glories of taking Sharana or shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. And Narad Muni wants to know more about Krishna Padabja Sharana. Pad means feet, Abja means lotus. Sharana means shelter. So Narad Muni says to Lord Shiva, please tell me more about the process of taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna Padabja Sharana. And Shiva speaks a very beautiful verse. He defines what is surrender. He says, Kayavan Manasa Sakshat Krishne Paramapuruṣe Parinishthashrayam Yadvai Sharanam Parikirtitam. He defines what is sharana, or taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Kaya van manasa sakshat. With one's body, with one's words, and with one's mind. If one takes complete shelter, parinishtha ashrayam yadvai. If one takes complete shelter of Krishna's lotus feet with one's body, mind, and words, that is called surrender. So a sannyasi is supposed to be surrendered. Not that I am, but at least the order I represent is like that. So the stick is supposed to have three sticks, actually. It represents the body, the mind, and the words. The body, mind, and words are supposed to be surrendered to Krishna. That is the reason why we carry this stick. Many times people ask us, and not many times, every time I go at the airport, invariably the question arises, what is this? Then I have to tell them it's a stick. A stick? What for? Why are you carrying a stick? So then I have to explain what it means. Some people ask, is it a fishing rod? No. So one time another sannyasi had been asked this, and he said yes, and he quoted the Bible and said it's to fish the men from this world, from the ocean of material existence, fish them out and take them, you know. It's a fishy world anyway. Sometimes when people ask me, they always ask in some or the other satsang. So one time a journalist asked, so I said, this is for those journalists who ask me difficult questions. This is to deal with them. Even in the class sometimes, I just tell as a precautionary measure right in the beginning, they don't ask me difficult questions. And secondarily, it is a symptom of surrender. So there's a fourth stick, actually speaking. It's called Tridanda, three dandas. But there's a fourth stick that represents the soul. It's a curved stick. So that represents the surrender of the soul. So body, mind, words, and the very soul is surrendered to Krishna. That is the meaning of surrender. This is a danda. So danda in Sanskrit means not only a stick, but it also means punishment. So when somebody carries this stick, it means that he must punish his body, his mind, and his words, to not use his body for anything other than Krishna's service, to not think about anything other than Krishna's service, to not speak about anything not connected with Krishna's service. So you have to punish yourself, because the mind will want to think of so many things, the body wants to do so many things, but you have to punish. So this is also a rod of punishment, of self-punishment. So this is how the spirit of surrender is so much part of our devotional life. Of course, it is not that it's only a sannyasi who surrendered. Any devotee is supposed to be a surrendered devotee. Devotional service is not dependent on our ashram. One may be a grihastha, or a brahmachari, vanaprastha, or a sannyasi. One may be a male or a female, but one must be surrendered as a devotee to Krishna. One must try to do the best one can for Krishna's service. Lord Shiva then goes on to explain that there are three stages of surrender. A very nice analysis. He said there is Prathama, Madhyama, and Shrestha. Prathama means the initial stages of surrender. Madhyama means the intermediate stage of surrender. And Shrestha means the highest stage of surrender. So what is the Prathama or first stage of surrender? When one has the conviction that if one follows the principles of religion, if one goes to the holy places of pilgrimage, if one surrenders to Krishna, then one will become free from sinful reactions. That is the initial stage of surrender. Why is it only initial? Can somebody say? Correct, because there is no love of Godhead yet. One is only thinking of freedom for oneself. I want to be free from sinful reactions. Why? Because sinful reactions mean suffering. So you will find many people who will go for different parikramas to holy places. In India, it's very common. They may not be regular practicing devotees in their day-to-day life. They're just pious people. So they will still go, they sacrifice their time, energy, money and so on, go to visit these holy places, take bath in the Ganga. They'll be very respectful to the sadhus and so on. But what is their goal? To be free from sinful reactions. Therefore, this is the initial stage of surrender. Then comes the madhyama stage, the intermediate stage, where the devotee says, my dear Lord, my house, my family, my money, my car, my property, it's all available for your service. So please use it for your service. Which is good, very good. But it's not yet the highest. So what is the highest or the Shrestha Sharanagati? Shrestha Sharana? The highest stage of surrender is when the devotee, out of love, says to Krishna, my dear Lord, I am yours utterly. My body, my mind, my words, and my everything belong to you. I am yours. I am your sold out slave. Do with me as you like. So this conception and the conviction that I am yours, tava asmi, and everything that is mine is also actually yours. This is the highest stage of surrender. And as we have discussed, from surrender, as we go deeper and deeper, the surrender also becomes deeper and deeper. And the devotion increases. There is no limit to surrender. When we talk of the highest stage of surrender, it doesn't mean that you reach there and then stop. You continue. It's an endless process. And then your devotion grows and grows and grows. The residents of Vrindavan are the highest examples of surrender. I just gave you one example of Krishna's headache and the gopis. And the residents of Vrindavan, the Vrajavasis, their surrender to Krishna is so deep that it goes beyond the stage of tava asmi, I am yours, to the level where they say, Krishna, you are mine. Mamatva. Do you get this point? It's one thing to say, Krishna, I am yours. But you come to a point and you say, Krishna, you are mine. Yes? Krishna is my property. In Vrindavan, the love of the Brajavasis for Krishna is so deep, they don't think of Krishna as God. That is a special qualification or quality about Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Krishna is simply a lovable cowherd boy. He is not loved because he is God. In the earlier stages of surrender, yes, including the third stage, Shrestha, one understands him to be God. But when we come to the platform of the Brajabasis, at that time, even the stage, I am yours, is automatically included because they are willing to do everything. At the higher stage, all the lower stages are included. But now the Brajabasis have this feeling of proprietorship over Krishna. Krishna is my property. Krishna shall do what I say. In surrender, I will do what Krishna says. But the Brajabasis say, Krishna, you will do what I say. or else just see. If Krishna is playing with his cowherd boyfriends, he's playing some games, and Mother Yashoda comes and says, "Krishna, it is lunchtime. Why are you not coming back here for lunch? Are you some orphan street urchin who is just running here and there? Do you not have a home? Do you not have parents? Come back immediately and take your food." And Krishna starts getting afraid. So Mother Yashoda is saying, "Do as I say, or else you will get a big scolding." Mamatva. Mama means mine. Mamatva means mineness. That means that idea, the conception that Krishna is mine and I can do what I like with him. Of course, for his pleasure, out of love, not out of exploitation, of course. And then when Krishna gets a little nervous because Mother Yashoda is angry with him, he wants to leave the place and looks around nervously at his friends. And after Mother Yashoda leaves, the friends will say, "Krishna, you dare not go now. If you go now, we will never take you again for playing." So Krishna is caught now. What does he do? The cowherd boys are also ordering him, "Krishna, you better stay here. Don't go." So the cowherd boys are not telling Krishna, "You are the Supreme Lord, whatever you like. If you wish, you go and take your meals. If you wish, you may stay." No, "You better stay. You must stay here." So this is called mamatva. So when we come to the platform of Shrestha Sharanagati, the highest surrender, when we say Tava Asmi, I am yours, and we render devotional spirit a service in that spirit, and if we are following in the footsteps of the Brajabasis, not otherwise, if we are following in the footsteps of the residents of Vaikuntha, who worship Lakshmi Narayan in a mood of awe and reverence, then this Tava Asmi will always remain. That is also glorious, no doubt. But only in Vrindavan will you find this mamatva, the feeling or the conception that Krishna is my property. Whereas earlier it is said, "I am Krishna's property." Many times, people say, the Mayavadis say, "We are gods. You are also God, I am God, we are all gods." But the correct understanding is, we are God apostrophe S. That means, we are God's property. So this is surrender. And as we go along like this, we have to cultivate the moods. We have to think very carefully about the way the Brajabasis loved and served Krishna. And we have to see how wonderful is their love. They were completely dependent on Krishna. And Krishna would never like it when the Brajabasis would start looking to him for orders. He always looked to them for orders. Even the gopis would get angry with Krishna, the younger gopis. And Krishna would find the rebuking words of the gopis more pleasing than the words of the Vedas, the prayers of the Vedas, the prayers of the demigods. So this is the spirit of Vrindavan. So anyway, coming back to Lord Shiva's statements, Lord Shiva then defines surrender again. And this verse has been quoted in the Nectar of Devotion, or the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I quoted this verse yesterday. Tavasmi vadan vacha tathaiva manasavidan tat sthanamashritastanva modate sharanagataha. Where it is said that if a devotee comes to the Lord and says, "Tava asmi vadan vacha tathaiva manasavidan," that my body, mind and words, with these three, I am yours. I am surrendered at your lotus feet. And if we take shelter, tat sthanam ashritastanva, then automatically he becomes blissful. He develops divine bliss. So Srila Jiva Goswami has explained that the word sharana has two components. One is ashraya and the other is raksha. Sharana means surrender. So the two components of surrender are, number one, ashraya means shelter, and raksha means protection. So when we surrender to the Supreme Lord, we are taking shelter of Him, and we also seek protection from Him. So this is the purport of the word sharana. So Lord Shiva goes on to say that when a person takes shelter of Krishna in this way, then automatically he sees no other shelter apart from Krishna, the devotees, and the process of devotional service. And such a devotee actually becomes very, very dear to Krishna. Then Lord Shiva goes on to say another very important verse, which is there in the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. He says, I'll tell you some more symptoms of surrender. And then he speaks this one verse, which talks about the six divisions of surrender. Many of you may be familiar with this verse. So interestingly, it is actually spoken by Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu had spoken that to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva has spoken to Narad Muni. It appears in the Satvata Tantra. Then it appears in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada also quoted this many times. So this is a very, very important verse for us, and particularly in relation to this topic. Because this verse describes what is surrender. Practically speaking. Because people ask, well, I want to surrender to Krishna, but what does it mean, practically speaking, to surrender? So here is the answer. So let us chant this verse together. This is quoted from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 22, text 100. Spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anukulyasya sankalpah. Pratikulyasya varjanam. Rakshasyati ti vishvaso. Goptritve varanam tatha. Atmanikshepakarpanye. Shadvidha sharana gatihi. Anukulyasya sankalpah. Pratikulyasya varjanam. Rakshishyati ti vishvaso. Goptritve varanam tatha. Atmanikshepakarpanye. Shadvidha sharana gatihi. Can we have two from the Prabhu side and two from the Mataji side chanting this verse? Anukulyasya sankalpaha. Pratikulyasya varjanam.
Rakshasyate iti vishvaso Goptritve varanam tatha Atmanikshepa karpanye Shadvidha sharanagati Anukulyasya sankalpaha Pratikulyasya varjanam Rakshishyati ti vishvaso Goptritve varanam tatha Atmanikshepa karpanye Shadvidha sharanagati Anukulyasya sankalpaha Pratikulyasya varjanam Rakshasyati ti vishvaso Goptritve varanam tatha Atmanikshepa karpanye Shadvidha sharanagati Anukulyasya sankalpaha Pratikulyasya varjanam Rakshasyati ti vishvaso Goptritve varanam tatha Atmanikshepa karpanye Shadvidha sharanagati
Translation. The six divisions of surrender are the acceptance of those things favorable to devotional service, the rejection of unfavorable things, the conviction that Krishna will give protection, the acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian or master, full self-surrender, and humility. How many of you would like to memorize this verse? Very nice. How many of you already have memorized this verse? Okay, three or four devotees. So please do try to memorize this verse because it is a very important verse for us. Shadvidha sharanagatihi. Sharanagatihi means surrender. Shadvidha means the six types or the six divisions. Shad means six. So the first one is anukulyasya sankalpaha. To be determined to accept only those things that are anukul. Anukul means favorable. To what? To devotional service. That's the first one. Anukulyasya sankalpaha. The second one is pratikulyasya varjanam. To be determined to give up all those things that are pratikul or unfavorable to devotional service. The third, rakshishyati iti vishvaso. That vishvas or faith or conviction that Krishna will protect me. Rakshishyati. Not only that he can protect me, but he will protect me. It's not enough to think that he can. What if he doesn't still? Right? He can, but he won't. No, he can and he will protect me. Goptritve varanam. Tatha means also. So Goptritve varanam means to accept Krishna as one's guardian or master or one's maintainer. Atmanikshepa. Full surrender. Self-surrender to Krishna. Karpanye. Karpanye means to think oneself very small. Be very humble. So these are the six items of surrender. So one has to follow these six to do one's in the process of doing devotional service. So when one surrenders, one will try to follow, accept these six principles very, very sincerely in one's life. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a book of songs, and that book is titled Sharanagati or Surrender. And he has composed songs according to each of these six categories. And in each category, there are several songs. So what we will be doing is, for each category, we'll sing one song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So probably we'll have time only for one song, or maybe two today. Let's see how it goes. One song maybe. And we'll start from the beginning. Anukulyasya sankalpaha. So accepting things that are favorable for devotional service, that's the first symptom of surrender. So can we have the song? Actually, there is an introduction before we do that, where so we'll sing two bhajans actually today. This is from the introduction to Sharanagati. Before he actually goes on to describing each of the six symptoms, in this first song he talks about the six in general. So let me read the translation first. Is there a translation first for this? This song is called Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive Daya Kori. Translation. Out of compassion for the fallen souls, Sri Krishna Chaitanya came to this world with his personal associates and divine abode to teach Sharanagati, surrender to the Almighty Godhead, and to freely distribute ecstatic love of God, which is ordinarily very difficult to obtain. This Sharanagati is the very life of the true devotee. The ways of Sharanagati are humility, dedication of the self, acceptance of the Lord as one's only maintainer, faith that Krishna will surely protect, execution of only those acts favorable to pure devotion, and renunciation of conduct adverse to pure devotion. The youthful son of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Krishna, hears the prayers of anyone who takes refuge in him by this sixfold practice. Bhakti Vinod places a straw between his teeth, prostrates himself before the two Goswamis, Sri Rup and Sri Sanatan, and he clasps their lotus feet with his hands. "I am certainly the lowest of men," he tells them weeping, "but please make me the best of men by teaching me the ways of Sharanagati." By singing, hearing and trying to understand bhajans of great acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we can get, if not an entrance, at least a peep into the great mysterious world of devotion. We aspire to enter into that kingdom of devotion. So these are all the preparatory phases of training that the acharyas are giving us. So they are teaching us how we should be thinking, how we should be aspiring. It is very inspirational for us. So let us chant this bhajan.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive Daya Kori Svaparshada Sviya Dhamma Saha Avatari Atyanta Durlabha Prema Kori Bare Dana Shikhaya Sharana Gati Bhakatera Prana Dainya Atma Nivedana Goptritve Varana Avashya Rakshibe Krishna Vishvasa Palana Bhakti Anukula Matra Karyera Svikara Bhakti Pratikula Bhava Varjanangi Kara Sharanga Sharanagati Hoi Bejahara Tahara Prarthana Shune Shri Nanda Kumara Rupa Sanatana Pade Dante Trina Kari Bhakati Vinoda Pore Duho Pada Dhari Kandiya Kandiya Bole Ami To Adhama Shikhaye Sharanagati कर हे उत्तम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So although it is very simple Bengali, it is Bengali, but it is very simple Bengali. I am sure many of you who understand Hindi or Gujarati or some Indian languages will very easily be able to follow. And for those of you who don't follow, we have already read the English translation. So basically Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this song is requesting, beseeching Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis that please make this lowest of men into the best of men by teaching him the ways of Sharanagati, of surrender. Because when one becomes a surrendered devotee of the Lord, then one becomes very dear to Krishna. So this surrender, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is the very life and soul of the pure devotees. So having given an introduction to the six divisions of surrender, let's take the first one that is there in the verse that we just discussed, Anukulyasya Sankalpaha. So in this category, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has composed several songs, and we'll sing now one of these songs. And it's a very famous song, well known in the devotee community, and especially in Vrindavan, in our Krishna Balaram temple. We sing it every Ekadashi just before the class begins, Srila Prabhupada's class. Which song is that? Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula. Right? So let us chant this bhajan now. Probably I will explain this bhajan tomorrow. We'll just sing it now.
Shuddha Bhakata
Hare Krishna. See the power of pure devotion. Say Shuddha Bhakata immediately. Went into an ecstatic trance, the sound system.
Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula
Slowly.
Bhakata Seva Parama Siddhi Premalati Karamula Premalati Karamula Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Anukula Madhavati Thi Bhakti Janani Jatane Palana Kori Ma माधवते थे भक्ति जनने जतन पालन को कृष्ण बसती बसती बोली परम आदर बोरी शुद्ध भक्त चरण रेणु भजन अनुकूल गौरामार जे सब स्थाने करल ब्राह्मण रंगे शेष स्थान हेरिबो आमी प्रणय भकत संगे शुद्ध भकत चरण रेणु भजन अनुकूल मृदंग वाद्य सुनित मन अवसर सदा जाचे गौरवित कीर्तन सुने आनंद हृदय नाचे शुद्ध भक्त चरण रेणु भजन अनुकूल जुगल मूर्ति देखिया मोर परमानंद हाय प्रसाद सेवा कोरिते हाय सकल प्रपंच जाय शुद्ध भक्त चरण रेणु भजन अनुकूल जे दिन गृह भजन देखी गृहत गोलोक भाई चरण सिधो देखिया गंगा सुख सा सीमा पाए। शुद्ध भक्त चरण रेणु भजन अनुकूल, भक्ति विनोद कृष्ण भजने अनुकूल पाय जा। प्रति दिवसे परम सुखे स्वीकार करता, शुद्ध भक्त चरण रेणु भजन अनुकूल, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
Sharanagati ki jai. So your homework till tomorrow's class begins is to go back home, see your Vaishnava song book, see this bhajan, and read the translation carefully and understand it line by line, and we'll talk about it tomorrow when we meet 3 o'clock, right? Yeah. 3 o'clock, and then we'll be discussing all these different limbs of surrender. So thank you very much. If there's any questions for 5 minutes, we can entertain some. Yes. The question is that it was mentioned in the course of the lecture that one can ask for protection from the Lord. So what kind of protection is it? We will discuss that more when we discuss Rakshishyati Iti Vishvaso. So that is the third symptom we'll come to. Anukulyasya Sankalpa is the first, Pratikulyasya Varjanam second, Rakshishyati Iti Vishvaso. So when we discuss that, we'll talk about protection. Any other question? Yes.
We have forgotten one tanja, Tulsi dekhi judai paan, madhav toshni jani, gaur piyare saak sevane, jivan sarthak mani. Intentionally we have not sung or we have forgotten?
No. I somehow missed singing it. Yeah. Number seven,
see,
I just...
Tulsi we should not take at night, so Maharaj must have not sung.
No. So let us sing it.
Sorry, Maharaj.
Finish that one verse. Somehow I skipped it. Thank you for pointing out. Number seven. Tulasi dekhi judaya prana madhava toshani jani. Gaura priya shaka sevane jivana sarthaka mani. Hare Krishna. Any other question? One last question. Yes. Between sin and aparad, yes. The question is, how does one understand whether something is a sin or an aparad? A sin is an ordinary violation of the laws of the scripture, stealing, telling lies, killing, all these things are sins. But an aparad is something that is specifically an offense against the Lord or His holy name or His devotees, like that.
If the sin is related to devotees and Lord,
then it is an offense, yes. Yes. Anybody else? Just see? Okay, yes.
When it comes to Sharanagati, at work also, there are so many different situations that one faces. So, should you, like say Santa Tukaram, should you just accept whatever comes to you, even at work, and, you know, have the strong faith that he's going to, not that he's going to protect you, but just have the strong faith in him and think that Prarabdha is coming to you and take it upon you and keep moving? Or do you have to contemplate, use your intellect and act accordingly certain times? Or do you just let it to him? You know, anything happens to me, I'm not going to react to anything, but I will just take it the way it comes. Is that firm faith enough to, you know, is that Sharanagati too?
All the options you have mentioned could be done in different circumstances. Yeah, it came in the mic. Oh, you mean you didn't get it there. Okay, so the question was that when one is in a work situation in the office, then should one just accept everything as Krishna's will and hope Krishna will protect, or is there something that one should do proactively to set things right or whatever? Yes, both, it could depend on the circumstances. Sometimes inaction is also an action. We would prefer to just let things go. Let's say somebody is doing some little politics against you in the office. All right, let it go. Not a big thing. Why to disturb yourself with that? But if it's a major thing, you might want to point out something in a certain way. So it all depends on the circumstances. We have to see case to case. But the principle is you have to protect your Krishna consciousness. Do the needful to protect your Krishna consciousness. Okay? All right. Yes. So there's a question, some devotees who believe only in Sharanagati but don't believe in chanting. It's like saying, suppose I come to you and say, Prabhu, I am fully surrendered to you. And then you say, well, that's nice. So can you please bring me a glass of water? I'm thirsty. Oh, I'm sorry, I have to go somewhere. I'm busy. Okay, well, when you come back, maybe you can bring something for me from the shop. Or really, I think I'll be too tired, maybe. So then, is that Sharanagati or surrender meaningful? So surrender means that one is willing to do everything to please the object of surrender. One is willing to, at the very least, be obedient. To obey. So Lord Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita is that we must always chant His glories. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha drah vrataha. So with firm determination, we should always chant His glories. And everywhere in the scriptures, the process of chanting the holy names has been recommended as the way for this age. So if we are truly surrendered, then we should follow the Lord's orders for us, which is to chant the holy names. So one must chant. So one cannot be truly surrendered to the Lord unless one follows His instructions. Okay? Yes. The question is that there are some devotees who want to surrender to Krishna.
Or come into service to the devotees also, but do not want to be a part of any organization.
They don't mind coming and doing service, but they don't want to accept a spiritual master, or they don't want to come into any organization. Well, the answer is, to that degree, their progress will be restricted. So with whatever sincerity they are offering devotional service will definitely be beneficial for them. But if they want to move ahead beyond a certain stage, one has to become very serious about Krishna consciousness. So the Supreme Lord and also the Acharyas have given us so many different items of devotional service that we must do. Association of devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy names in the company of devotees, worshipping the deity, worshipping Tulasi. Some of these things we can do at home, but we still need the association of devotees. And when devotees come together, eventually beyond a certain number of devotees, you need an organization. So long as you're a very small group of devotees, you can meet together informally in somebody's home over here and there, but eventually as the number of devotees grows, you want some formal thing. You want a place of your own where you can exclusively serve, you can have nice deity worship, people can gather. It is not one person's private home, but it is a temple. Then the moment you have all that, then all the other things of an organization start. So these are not necessarily bad things, they're very good things because they facilitate our devotional service. because they help us to get the association of devotees. Srila Prabhupada used to say, for chanting Hare Krishna, I could just sit under a tree and chant, but who would have come to me? In Tompkins Square Park, he did. He started, so he got some hippies coming to him. But today, if you sat in the park, you wouldn't get too many people. But he said, if you have a nice big temple, then many people will come. Being attracted by the opulence of the temple, they will come. So we want to bring people to Krishna consciousness, so sometimes organization is required. But at the end of the day, we must realize that all this organization and everything is meant for a purpose. And that purpose is that we should become Krishna conscious. Okay? So all right, then we'll stop here. It's quite late, 9:20 almost. So thank you very much, and we will meet again tomorrow afternoon. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.